que j'ai. So, 我们谢谢各位领导，那么请各位领导场下就坐。
Thank you all for your presentation. Now please go back to your seats from the stage because we now are entering to the next session.
The DS is 1986. So after about 30 years, there is another big innovation is the new GTLDs. So I can... You know, ICANN is playing a very, very important role about the new GTLDs. And also, you know, even for new GTLDs, it's a big challenge for the whole community. So ICANN try to improve the security and the stability of the global DNS infrastructure. So ICANN select the emergency backend registry operators in the world. So now I want to transfer this floor to my colleague, Color. Yeah, you will monitor the next session about the signing ceremony for the e-brewers. And after that, maybe go to the third session on the panel discussion on Asia-Pacific strategy of ICANN. Color, please.
Thank you very much, and good morning to all. My name is Carla Valenti. I work for ICANN, and I have been very lucky that one of my projects is the development of the Emergency Backend Registry Operator Program, also known as IBRO program, which is very important for the DNS stability, one of the critical missions of ICANN. Last week, we reached a very important milestone of this program with the selection of the three IBRO providers. And today, we are going to be signing the affirmation of intent with the three providers. And I'm honored to ask to come to stage Mr. Huan Chanyang, who is the Director General of Computer Network Information Center for the China Academy of Science and also Director General of CNIC. Ms. Leslie Cawley, who is the CEO of Nominet, and Mr. Jeffrey Newman, who is the Vice President of Business Affairs of Newstar. I also would like to call ICANN's President and CEO, Mr. Fadi Shehadi, to share some thoughts with us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, or good morning. Well, no, good afternoon. I think you heard enough from me, but I will be quick. This is an exciting day. We have been planning this for a long time. Having emergency backup registry operators is a sign of ICANN's commitment to the security and stability of the DNS. The IBRO program, as it's called, does not exist today for any current GTLD. And therefore, this is a step forward in our commitment to ensure that the registries that are coming online will have a backup method. Now, just to be clear, this will only be used in the rare case that a registry needs support for a temporary period or we are transferring to another registry backend operator, so the IBRO function becomes very critical at this stage. Of course, I said rare because it is our hope and plan that through the vetting of the applications for the new GTLDs, we are doing all the necessary work to ensure that they are technically capable and will be able to stand and will hopefully never need the IBRO process. Now, when we started to select IBRO providers, we sent an RFI, a request for information, and we were frankly surprised because 14 extremely qualified organizations around the world submitted the request to participate, to be an operator of the back-end registry. It was very difficult to pick the winners because we had such a good response. But I'm very happy that we have now selected the three Ibero providers that will break the ground on this new and important program. And notice that as part of the selection, we ended up with three providers that span the geographies of the world and therefore will provide capabilities for the users across the planet. You heard a little bit about CNNIC today from its director general. I visited them. It's an impressive operation here in China. I had the great pleasure also recently to visit in the UK and spend time with Leslie and her team and her chairman, chairwoman who's here, the Baroness. And again, I left after several hours there sincerely and deeply impressed, not just by the depth of the services they provide, but the quality of their people. The quality of their people. Very, very impressive. And thank you, Leslie and Madam Baroness, for the invitation there. And of course, Jeff, who I can call a friend, represents the third Ibero selectee. The New Star has done a remarkable job in the past few years of freely providing services to their customers and to the world that are leading services. And I think with his work and his leadership, as well as New Star's incredible resources and capabilities, I think in these three we have a solid back-end operator group, and I think ICANN shows again its commitment to the security and stability of the expanding DNS. Thank you. So we are signing an affirmation of intent with each of the three to be followed very shortly with the signing of the full contract. But we thought today is a good day for us to celebrate this together.
I think it's bad news. The meeting is in lunchtime. But the good news, there is a free sandwich outside, so after this session. So thank you, Carla, and thank you, Fadi. I think it's an honor to witness this happen. Yeah, I think we should try to make sure we can improve the security and the stability of the whole infrastructure. I think the community have a big concern about that. You know, there will be over 1,000 new GTRDs, yeah, and also maybe 1,000 or 10,000 in the future. So how to make sure the infrastructure is stable is a very, very important issue. So I think let's move to the next session. If you want to have a break or to go to the restroom, I think it's up to you. Yeah. So I will open this session in 2 minutes after. So I try to make sure you have time to have a very short break. Yeah, I'll be back to the stage after about 2 minutes. Excuse me. Welcome back. Okay, I think it's time for us to reopen the session. Yeah, the third session of this high-level meeting. So, please have a seat. I think so I gave a 2 minutes break, but I also released half of the people. Yeah, I think it's maybe other people is on the way to for back this meeting room. So. I think it's, there's so many people may feel excited about Friday's speech this morning because, you know, I can have a new strategy. We want to spread our core functions around the world into three hub offices, and we will have more engagement center in the future. Of course, there is a Beijing Engagement Center announced this morning. I do believe there will be a lot of engagement matters in the future. So. Now, I think it's, as I mentioned, Asia Pacific have almost half of the internet users in the world. So it's a very diverse region. Yeah, with multiple culture, a lot of countries, different kind of language. It's a very very large region around the world in the world. So, how to make the new Asia Pacific strategy to meet the ICANN's missions and also meet the FADI's goal. Yeah, I think it's a challenge for us. But everything is going ahead. Yeah, even we cannot deliver the final strategy of Asia Pacific, but you know ICANN want to work very closely with the stakeholders in this region and engage the stakeholders. So Today I tried to organize the panel discussion. Yeah, so there's panelists here. I want to introduce how to build this panel. Why build this panel? You know, firstly, I want to invite Fadi Shahadi. He's president and CEO of ICANN. I think he will give a overview of ICANN's strategy for the internationalization and the globalization. I also invite two AP Star organizations, Paul Wilson, Director General of APNIC. Yeah, and it's a very, very important AP Star organization in Asia Pacific. And I also invite, where's Jen Zhang? He's a General Manager of APTRD. Maybe, yeah. She's finding a sandwich, maybe. And also, I invite Andre. Yeah, I try to ask Andre to teach me how to pronounce his family name. Andre Klesnikov. Klesnikov. Yeah, from the EU is from Russia. You know, Russia is a belongs to each region, Europe, Asia Pacific, Asia. So it's a big country, covered different region. So, and also I invite Chris Dispin, is a CEO of the EU, but she'll be a little bit late because she's on the meeting, in Cincinnati meeting. So she'll join us after a while from most south of the Asia Pacific. And also I invite Andy from Indonesia. He's the chairman of the ID. He's in the middle of this region. And also, you know, in Asia Pacific, there's a lot of developing country. You know, how to develop the ICANN's Asia Pacific strategy to help the developing country is very, very important for ICANN, I think. And we also have invited two keynote speakers just now, Mr. Ji Xu and Mr. Shi Xiaohong. Is a VP from Qihu. Yeah, it's an internet security company. It's a very famous company in China now. So now I prefer to invite all of the panelists go to the stage. Yeah, there is name. in batch there. Yeah. I'm very happy to see so many people have their drink and food. Yeah, so enjoy drink and food and enjoy our discussion. Yeah. So firstly, I want to invite Fadi Shahadi, the president and CEO of ICANN, to give a couple of minutes for Fadi to give more information about ICANN's new strategy for globalization. Yeah, Fadi.
Okay. As I said before, you've heard enough of me today, so I'll keep my remarks brief. But first and foremost, I would like to recognize that of the people sitting to my left, I am really the least in knowing and understanding and working in Asia. So they are the experts, and I defer to them. So I'm honored to be on the panel with you. To learn from you. And I want to recognize especially Dr. Lee Shadong, who has been working closely with me for the last few months. I have come to learn that he is not just a gentleman and not just a PhD in his field, but also a leader in many ways. So I'm honored to have worked with you, Shadong, and I really consider the time we spent together as very special time. And I wish you the best as the new CEO of CNNIC. They are very lucky to have you, as we were to have you as well. And we remain partners. Now, Jadong, before he moved on to his new role, has left all the seeds to start building an Asia-Pacific strategy. So he laid what I would call the foundation for that strategy. And that's very important to appreciate. One of the things he's helping us do is to participate in the selection of our new Asia-Pacific leader. And our new Asia-Pacific leader, we have, as you know, put out the ads, the advertisements to look for a good leader. We have received many, many, many applications, and I'm very pleased with that. This is humbling to us to see the number of people who would like to lead our work in Asia to follow in the footsteps of Shadong. And we are now down to the last three finalists, and we are very confident that within the next few weeks we will select the ICANN Asia-Pacific leader and announce that person to the community. Let me just say something about our engagement in Asia, Asia-Pacific, the whole Asia-Pacific region. It has been, to be quite frank, quite anemic. The amount of resources and support that ICANN has put in this region to date has been, frankly, limited. All you have to do is look around you. See how big and how complex and how diverse and how rich and how growing Asia-Pacific is. And yet, our investments in this area have been limited to a couple of people and a few visits here and there. That's not what engagement is. That's not what investment is. We're changing that completely. And frankly, with a lot of the input that we got from Jadong and Save and the people in this region who know it and understand it, we now have a plan to actually have a presence in Asia Pacific that is substantive and that is sustainable long term. You heard me this morning say this, and I want to repeat this in very clear terms. We're not just opening an engagement center in Asia. We're actually moving, shifting part of the ICANN global functions to Asia. So I'm looking forward, hopefully before my tenure at ICANN ends in a couple of years, to see that Asia has a hub, an operations hub, that serves the people of Asia-Pacific in their time zone, so they can pick up the phone during their time zone and talk to people at ICANN in every function. And I hope that will happen, and we will see our Singapore hub grow from 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 people. We have put a very clear filter on additional hiring in the United States, so that more hiring now shifts outside the U.S. to Asia Pacific in the hub here in Singapore, as well as in our Istanbul office. This is real movement on the part of ICANN. It is not just talk, it is real movement. I also want to mention that the reception we've had in Asia, and I will speak about Singapore specifically during my recent visit there, has been remarkable. I mean, the community feels like they've been waiting for this for a long time. I went to Tokyo, and I went to Seoul, and I went to, I came to Beijing here, and I went to Singapore, and in all these stops, the community embraced the ICANN move to this region in a very positive way, in a very real way. And I'm happy to inform you that we have now legally become a Singapore company. So we have signed the paperwork now, and we are a legal entity as of last week in Asia. This is the first time this has ever happened in the ICANN history, and I'm very pleased with that. We've signed the papers, and the Singaporean government has been nothing but, frankly, deeply supportive of our move to their region, helping us along the way so we can build the necessary infrastructure, the necessary people to support all of Asia-Pacific. Thank you. And this is good news for us. It's very good news, very good news. And, of course, I'm heading to Turkey shortly with Dr. Tarık Kamel and the team to start also to sign the paperwork to start our Turkish operations. Now, what do we do when we come to Asia-Pacific? The first thing we do, besides building the team so we have enough people to engage, the first thing we do is to listen. This is rule number one of engagement. Listen, not talk. We don't want more ICANN loudspeakers in Asia. We need more ICANN ears and microphones in Asia. People who listen, who understand the local needs, who appreciate what the communities need, and then react to that. So I want to assure you that our engagement is real, our engagement is genuine, our engagement is bottom-up, and it starts with the people in Asia, with the communities in Asia. And the communities are not just the governments. The communities are the users, the businesses, the academics, the governments as well. All of them are part of our community, and we're coming here to engage with them fully. I look forward to a very different ICANN presence in Asia Pacific in the years ahead. And I can assure you that we will not spare anything or spare resources. You saw what happened in Africa, which is just a few months ahead of our Asian strategy because we started it in Prague. And we already not only have a VP on the ground now in Africa, we already have empowered him with staff and resources. He'll be putting people in North Africa, South Africa, East, West, Middle of Africa, and even in the Indian Ocean to support all of the African communities. And we're putting programs and training and partnerships in Africa to make that happen. I look forward to see that happen here. I want to thank again Zhedong Li for making this possible. Thank all my fellow panelists for taking the time to support you. And I look forward to a very successful week here in the heart of Asia Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you, Fadi. You know, I try to make sure that today is not my farewell speech. So I think it's, the good news is maybe in the near future we will have a VP to take care of the Asia-Pacific region. Yeah, and the bad news, maybe you will not see me in the future on behalf of ICANN, but I think it's, the very bad news is you will always see me in this community. So I think it's, I'm very, very glad to hear that new strategy of Fadi. You know, I have when Fadi on board to be the ICANN CEO, we have a lot of discussion about the Asia Pacific region because, you know, it's a not only because it's a large population, but also, you know, it's a very good region for internet developing. So I can pay much more attention to this region. But, you know, this region is too big. There's large countries, large population. And also we have some small island countries. So it's very, very diverse in the ocean near. So how to cover that? How to engage the stakeholders? How to make sure ICANN service can cover them? Yeah. How to do that? You know, ICANN may have some kind of possible answer, but it's not enough. We need to work together very, very closely with the stakeholders, yeah, with the key partners in different sub-regions, different countries. So that's why I want to have those panelists discuss. You know, before the panel discussion, I don't want every panelist to stand up, come here. Yeah, you can just sit in your seat. There is a microphone in front of you. So I will give 5 minutes for every panelist, 5 to 6 minutes is okay, to introduce yourself and introduce your company and to share your view and information about the ICANN's Asia Pacific strategy, how ICANN can serve you, how to engage your community in ICANN. And before our discussion, I want to recall ICANN's mission. Yeah, I you know, yesterday when I prepared this panel discussion, I tried to read the ICANN's mission again. Yeah, so I want to read that for everyone. The mission of the Internet Corporation of ASEAN Name and Members, ICANN, is to coordinate at the overall level the global Internet system of unique identifiers, and in particular, to ensure the stable and the secure operation of the Internet Unique Identifier System. In particular, ICANN coordinates the allocation and assignment of the three sets of unique identifiers of the Internet, which are domain names, Internet Protocol Address, IP address, and the AS numbers, and protocol port, and parameter numbers. And second is coordinate the operation and the innovation of the DNS root server name system. The third is coordinate policy development reasonably and appropriately relevant to the technical functions. These root missions is written in the ICANN bylaw. So when I was reading root missions, I think, wow, it's a very big challenge for ICANN because, you know, how to make one world, one internet in the future, how to make sure when we have 1,000, maybe 10,000 new GDRDs in the future, how to make sure that it's still a one world, one internet, and all of the system is secure, stable, and can support the new innovation, new applications. I think it's a big challenge. Yeah. So now I want to transfer the microphone to every panelist. So maybe the first, Paul. Yeah, we can share your information. Yeah, you're very, very key partners of ICANN in this region.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Xiaodong, and thanks for this this opportunity to be here at this this panel. It's really good to see. It's great to see the level of interest here in the room as well. My name's Paul Wilson. I'm from APNIC, the Asia Pacific Network Information Center, which is the regional internet address registry for the Asia Pacific. So we're responsible for the allocation and registration of IPv4 and IPv6 addresses around this region. And I guess we've been well aware for a very long time that this region, one of five, accounts for around half of the planet's population and a much larger proportion, actually, of future internet growth and growth potential, unmet need and untapped markets, if you like, for the internet in the world. So I think this is a very important meeting at this time, and it's really a credit to ICANN that they have seen that and have brought the meeting to the ICANN meeting to Beijing and are carrying out these activities around the meeting. I guess coming from a regional organisation, it shouldn't be a surprise that I see a strength in a regional approach. And I think a regional approach is really definitely needed for ICANN, as they've said themselves, to create a stronger presence in the region and to foster stronger participation by the region in ICANN itself. Also, vice versa, I'd say that what ICANN has lacked, and I think Fadi has recognised this very clearly, is participation by ICANN in regional activities. I think so far the start that Fadi has made looks really very, very good. It's, as I said, recognising particularly the challenge of the region and the relative lack of investment by ICANN historically. So really to see after such a short space of time not only the selection and the preparation of the for the regional approach with the regional hub in Singapore, but the concrete progress which has been made in Singapore and with the regional engagement of the country or economy engagement offices is also really good to see. I think stronger presence for ICANN means more visibility for ICANN, of course, but as Fadi said himself, if that's only marketing, then it fails. It's doomed to failure through this process of distributing loudspeakers. So I think the genuine regionalisation approach of distributing operational presences to regional hubs is a really nice idea and really critical to what ICANN's doing. I think it doesn't need to be said that there are plenty of activities in the Asia Pacific already. So recognising those existing regional initiatives is really critical. I mean, we're not talking about a so-called greenfield deployment of anything here. There's already a hell of a lot of activity in place in this region. Some pieces of the puzzle in this region are definitely missing, but many of them are here, and ICANN needs to fit in with that. In a way that avoids duplication, that fills the gaps that do exist in priority order, and in a way which is actually congruent with ICANN's own roles and its abilities. And when ICANN brings its pieces of the puzzle, then I think a really critical point which I'd like to hear more about is how the ICANN pieces interface with the pieces that exist. How that's going to work and develop over time. I think the regional approach is needed because regions are both different and similar as well. So having taken a bit of interest so far in the Africa and Latin American processes, I think they are really good to see, very good start, and I think we can all learn a lot from there. For instance, in Africa, the identification of needs in training, policy, engagement, partnerships, incubation, and entrepreneurship are all needed in this region as well, and the matrix of needs which have been identified in the Latin American case is also makes very interesting reading if it's new to anyone here. I'd highly recommend it. One specific thing that I'd take from that is which definitely I think applies in this region is the column entitled "Fostering a Healthy Internet Governance Ecosystem." So I'd suggest particular focus on that area. I'm personally involved with the IGF MAG this year, also in the Asia Pacific Regional IGF meeting, which is coming up, and one of the concerns about the IGF, the Internet Governance Forum, from this region's perspective, I think is relatively low participation that we've seen from the Asia Pacific region in the IGF meetings so far. And also, hand in hand, is the relatively low profile of Asia Pacific regional IGF meetings. So we've had a couple of those meetings so far. There's another one coming up later this year, and I think this meeting, the fact that the IGF, the global IGF meeting is happening in Bali this year, the fact that we have a regional IGF coming up and we have ICANN here with us is a really fantastic opportunity to strengthen this region's participation in IGF both this year and then with lasting effect into the future, and really to strengthen the multi-stakeholder model which Fadi spoke about at some length this morning, because that multi-stakeholder model is the magic that we're all supporting here, that we're all part of, that has been absolutely key to the internet success. And I think the multi-stakeholder model, for various reasons now, is sort of at risk of reinterpretation. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be developed in an ongoing, progressive way. And I think we can all share that as a major goal. It's certainly a goal that I think APNIC and ICANN share together. And in this area, in particular, I'd really like to look forward to working with ICANN on this area in particular in future. So I'll stop there and let others talk. Thanks.
Tian Zhang, the General Manager of APTLD, Asia Pacific Top Level Domain Association. Where by saying that we're not part of ICANN, and also we're not APNIC. So many people, you know, get confused. You know, a lot of people, you know, ask me about IP addresses. No, we're not. You know, we're not APNIC. So. Yes, that's Paul. I'm glad, you know, Paul is before me, you know, speak before me. So we're an association for CCTLD operators in Asia Pacific region. So for example, like .cn is our member, and .id, even .ru, Russia. So I saw a lot of, you know, members, you know, in this room. So we promote and participate the best practice for CCTLD operators for members' benefit. Also, we voice out for our members in issues related to domain names. So we're also, you know, membership-based. We not only open our full membership to CCTLDs in the region, also we open our social membership to GTLD registries, CCTLD registry not in the region, and also registrars, also anybody interested in domain name, actually. So we're a very open forum. There are four regional organizations in the world. We're the one for AP region. So we're very regional focused. For example, like IDN, International Domain Name, it's never been an issue in Europe because, you know, they speak Latin language. Yeah, but it's always a big thing in our region because, you know, the language barrier in our region. So actually, APTLD is one of the advocators for IDN Fast Track. The whole process actually started from a letter APTLD wrote to ICANN. So that's a good example, you know, for, you know, what we've been doing. We work closely with ICANN. We actively participate in ICANN policy development. But as I said, you know, we're not part of ICANN, not part of CCISO. We're an independent organization. We speak for our members. We serve our members' interest. So, but, you know, talking about ICANN strategy, I would like to express our gratitude to ICANN, to Fadi, Xiaodong, you know, to the effort ICANN so far has made to engage with our community. It's, you know, just as Fadi said, you know, in the past, you know, it's not been a very successful engagement. You know, definitely we appreciate your effort, you know, to engage with us. I think probably the first thing for the engagement is the outreach. I have to confess, it's not an easy job to, you know, to outreach in our region because of the scope, because of the language and the culture, you know, differences in our region. So it's never been an easy job. Probably, you know, we're the biggest region by ICANN definition, and also probably we're the most diverse region, you know, in the world. You know, look at how many languages, how many, you know, cultures we have in this region. Yeah, so by saying that, you know, we could see us, you know, as a bridge, you know, between ICANN and our members and our community. Most of our members are CCTRD registries. You know, they're always playing an important role in the local community. Also, they're, you know, important stakeholder in internet community. You know, even they're running in different models. You know, some of them are part of government, some of them are, you know, academy, some of them are totally, you know, commercialized company. So, but still, you know, they're always, you know, been playing an important role in the community. So, but not everybody actually participated ICANN. So in our forum, actually, what we did is, you know, we explained the policy development in ICANN forum, how it could be possible affect our members. And also we submit our comments, you know, we collect the comments from our members and we submit the comments to ICANN. So it's more like, you know, we're the bridge of two-way communications. So actually we're looking forward, you know, to, you know, to work with ICANN, you know, more closely, you know, to serve our member and also to help ICANN to engage with our region. So this is, you know, how look at, you know, we look at our role. It's been actually very good cooperation before. You know, we've been working closely with ICANN to provide trainings for our members. It's a very successful collaboration between us. So I think, you know, so it's a good start. So thank you.
Thank you. Jen, before Andy, I want to give some information for you for this region. As mentioned by Jen, this region is multiple language and have a big diversity. So you know, so many countries, especially for some developing countries, some people have a big concern how to join ICANN meeting, also ICANN activities. You know, ICANN, in some sense, most of ICANN meeting is you can have a remote joining the ICANN meeting. And ICANN also provide the fellowship, yeah, to sponsor some people want to join ICANN meetings. But, you know, when I'm the VP for Asia Pacific, I see not too many application from this region, especially for some developing countries. I think is we tried to deliver this message to the community. You can ask some sponsorship from ICANN to cover a cost for joining the ICANN meeting. And also, you know, now from this meeting, you see that in the ICANN meeting in Beijing, there is some localized language materials, especially for Chinese. And in the future, ICANN also will at least provide the UN-based language service for the ICANN activity attendees. And also, you know, some countries, especially in Asia Pacific, they have a big interest how to work together with ICANN to provide their language. Yeah, not only for six UN-based language, I think it's for language and cost is the barrier for ICANN engagement. But ICANN have do a lot for that, and will do much a lot in the future. Andy,
thank you, Shen Dong. So since this is our only event for the meet to all of you, so allow me to use my presentation over there. Thank you. This is the overview of Indonesia. We have a largest archipelago. We have 70,000 islands and 34 provinces and 62,000 of villages, yeah, in our country. And population in our country right now is reached 260 million people. And our economic growth is 4 years, around 4%. And the SMA, I think this is the same with the in China, Nikkei. SMA also important. It contribute 60% of GDP, and for the ICT sector in Indonesia is ranked seven in the GDP, and role very important role because they are supporting other sector, and we have 250 million active cellular with 70 million are smartphone, and with the 63 million internet users, only about 24% of population. It is more than 10% from China internet users. Yeah. Less than from 10%. And e-commerce transaction also is about 250 billion in 2012. And this is you may all see this graphic actually. The Asia's penetration is only 27%. That means compared to the others country, 34%. This means there is a digital divide in the region. And Indonesia is ranked number 4 of internet user in this region. And this is the growing of the internet users since 2000, nowadays we are 63 million. And for the gender side, is mostly half men and half woman. And for the average, for the users, mostly 60% users is native, digital native. I mean the people who, young people that born with the internet already there. And this is the problem with the, our country's digital divide. So in the case study to bringing internet to the rural area, isolated area, we do a lot of initiative since we provide the mobile internet and also a boat, yeah. Since Indonesia is an archipelago, so everybody can come to the internet mobile and access to the internet. And the content development for the ruler, this is we provide the desa.id. It's a second level domain actually, but desa.id is a village. Yeah? It's a domain for villages. As I mentioned before, we have 62K of villages in Indonesia, and you know this is important to village to they can promote their potential resources to the internet. And in the case study for the internet SMA, we have a cooperation with Google actually when we have a business online co ID. Today, we have 52 million of active SMA, but only 75 use the website, and from the 75, only 30K use have .id, while the rest of Indonesia use .com is GTLD, for almost 200K. And this is the program from the SMA. And for the domain name structure in Indonesia, we have also multi-stakeholder. Pandi, before Pandi is look like an operator, is a registry, but look like an operator registry actually. But in the top of Pandi, we have a domain name forum. Domain name forum is consists of government and IT related associated and civil society and academic. The domain name forum is to decide the policy of the domain name in Indonesia. And then Pandi will execute the policy. And also we have the policy development process. We allow everybody to send a proposal, to send their thought of the how to manage or to change the current regulation. And then we have similar with the EPNIC, we have also an open policy meeting, and everybody can give more input to the proposal. And since October 2012, we have 12 registrar, because nowadays our government not allowed to for registrar from the outside the country, but the registrar should be on the country. We have 12 of them, most of them ISP and website developer, also from the telephone operators. And when China celebrated 2.5 million domain, we are only celebrating 100,000 domain right now. But hopefully, in the next years, we will grow. And this is about the re-delegation. Re-delegation. We start the re-delegation process since June. And in the APTLD meeting in Singapore, we have a meeting with the IANA and ICANN as well. And thanks to APTLD and SGENIC, to arrange the meeting. Now we are on the final administrative verification with IANA. Hopefully, during this meeting, we will have a meeting with the IANA people here around here. And this is actually our suggestion for the, the ICANN strategy. greater empowerment and support of the pool of internet deployment. I think a lot of Indonesia is a big, is number four, but a lot of country and Indonesia as well need more support from the ICANN actually, and reduce the digital divide by providing cheaper internet and promoting local content development. And with the respect, this is about the GTLD, with the respect to the value of sovereignty and culture heritage in any country, it's proposed that any issuing of any anything GTLD related to the culture and heritages should have a permission from the respective government. And the last is in order to create positive harmonism, it suggested that ICANN and all countries should participate and take concern to the positive use of the internet and avoiding negative content such as related to hatred, racism, and contempt of the regulation. And you can see, this is the our website. So the other suggestion actually, not suggestion, but this is a comment. Beside the ICANN program, that engagement center and ABRO, this is very important also, and very highly appreciated to the U.S. United States Internet community to have Fadi as a CEO of the ICANN. So this is eliminate the barrier to interact with the Asia region, especially from Indonesia. And the other thing, as Paul Wilson said, in October we will have an IGF meeting in Bali, and hopefully most of you will come to Bali and support our IGF. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, I think it's so many people will join the IGF meeting in Bali. It's a very nice place. And now we have Chris Lisping here. He's the CEO of .eu Australia, and also, you know, he's ICANN board member now and the former CCSO chair. So he will share his view on ICANN's AP strategy.
Sorry. Good afternoon, everybody, and my sincere apologies for arriving very late to this session. I want to talk a little bit about, so I'm Chris Dismay, and I'm the CEO of AUDA, AUDA, the Australian Domain Name Administrator. We're unique in the world, as far as I'm aware, because we're the only administrator of a continent. Not that that makes us special, it's just unusual. Of course, we have a particular model in Australia on administration. AUDA is a not-for-profit, membership-based organisation endorsed by our government to run .au. We don't have any government involvement other than them having observer status on our board and us obviously having a close relationship with them. And we have a policy-rich environment in Australia. We have second levels and register at the third, and there's policy for each of those second levels. We're also very involved in the Asia-Pacific region, and it's that I wanted to concentrate on very briefly now, because I know that this is, to a degree, about a strategy for the Asia-Pacific region, and I want to launch a plea, if I may. The Asia-Pacific is the largest of the regions. It's extraordinarily diverse. It runs from right over in the Middle East, all the way through past Australia to New Zealand, right the way across the Pacific, and it's a classic case of one size fits no one. The regions exist as a convenience, and they've existed in the form that they are since the very beginning of ICANN, and we tend to rely on them a lot for things like voting mechanisms in the CCNSO, finding councillors and so on and so forth. But when it comes to strategy, I think we need to be really clear that a strategy for the Asia-Pacific region as a whole is probably unworkable. I come from a country that is very focused. It's incredibly focused on Asia, but it also has, it believes, a fundamental responsibility to the Pacific, to the islands. New Zealand is very much the same. And we work extremely hard to deal with, to help the islands. They have very, very particular problems. Perhaps the most important problem is that a number of them may not be here for too much longer. They may, in fact, disappear because of the changing climate. Second problem that they have is they are very small and they have a very small population. In many cases, they have a far larger population living outside of the island than lives in the island. So New Zealand, for example, has a very high islander population of different islands that move to New Zealand. And in fact, New Zealand subsidizes the ability for them to do that. So within the islands themselves, transport is a major, major issue. Getting from one island to another can take an extraordinarily long time and be extremely expensive. So they have very, very particular problems because they're not a contiguous landmass and they're very small. So what I think is critical from ICANN's point of view is to create a strategy in the same way that I believe we've taken the Middle East as a particular region, even though it's not a region in the sense of ICANN's regions, we should be doing the same with the Pacific, and we should be looking at a strategy for what is, I think, referred to in United Nations terms as Oceania, which is Australia, New Zealand, and the islands. And Australia, and I know I won't speak on behalf of New Zealand, but I know I can say New Zealand and Australia are both very, very keen to work with ICANN to have. It's not about splitting the region up, but it is about concentrating on these on areas in the region that have particular issues. And I think that Oceania as a region has very, very particular issues. And we should take a look at putting a strategy together in respect to that. I have no idea if we're going to have discussion or questions, but I think that's my 5 minutes, and I'm happy to leave it at that. Thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you, Chris. So I transfer the microphone to Andre.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here with our colleagues. And I just say a few words on the subject today's meeting. We operate 4.5 million domain names in .ru and also running the largest IDN CCTLD in the world. .ref today is counting for 785,000 domain names. So we are far ahead of any other IDN domain names, which basically reflects the status of the language and the development of the internet in the Russian Federation. Based on ICANN definition, the Russian belongs to Europe. However, the majority of the territory split by the Ural Mountains is in Asia. It's a geographical fact. And for example, the trade volumes between China and Russia demonstrated, I have the last figure of a 2011, but it was $83.5 billion with 70% growth per year. So we are far ahead of 100 billion this year, these two countries. Also in the domain name industry, we have a very friendly and working relations with the CNNIC and AP region in general. For example, CNNIC has a DNS node up and running in Moscow with the support of our facilities of our technical center and Moscow IX. The internet growth in Russia now is at a pace of 38% per year for the past 2 years. It was never less than this number. And Russia became the largest European internet market just based on the mathematical facts that we have about 140 million citizens and about 63 million users online. So, and growing. For example, Mail.ru and Yandex, which is a search engine, are two largest European internet companies. They are from Russia. Due to its geographical position, it's a long country, it's 11 time zones. Russian internet physiological structure, infrastructure, is a dynamic life organism, and the internet diversity is among the top priorities of our government, business, and users. So actually, nobody counts, but our estimation is that we have more than 350 outbound and inbound internet connections through the cross-border connections. Majority is, of course, in Europe because it's where the most of the people, but also a lot of plenty of connections in on the South and Asia. With China and Japan, we have tens of direct fiber optic connections with a lot of traffic and growing every year. Having said this, we estimate the internet input into the GDP of Russia overall with trade and other things is 4.2%, which is a lot for the economy, which is based on oil and gas only, because there are no other industries in Russia. So the only industry which is growing is internet. And there'll be a meeting, the Russian IGF, fourth Russian IGF meeting on 25th of April, and a lot of you invited in advance. So we're going to discuss all these issues. I would say a few words about what I believe is the most critical function which we must focus and never forget about it. I can do a lot of things to promote the multi-stakeholder model. They move into the regions. They run a lot of education programs. So there are people around doing things, big ICANN community. But I believe the most critical function of ICANN is the AI function, because all these economies, I mean, all this modern world depends on a very basic and simple address function of the domain name system. And when we set up different priorities for the ICANN strategies, we should never forget about the simple and basic function. IANA, the domain name system, must work no matter what happens, with any conditions, with any regulations, with any political situations. You know, just never forget about this function. And I believe that we should spend some time looking at the logistics and operations. This must be absolutely, I would say, ideal operations for this function. And let's spend some time discussing this and making sure that the internet address system always works. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre. We also have two panelists from the internet industry, Mr. Ji Xu and Ms. Shi Xiaohong. Yeah, I will transfer the microphone to Mr. Ji.
First, I'd like to thank Mr. Fadi, Dr. Li, my fellow panelists, and everyone for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of SINA. SINA was one of the first to introduce internet to the Chinese users more than 10 years ago. And in the past decade, SINA has always been an industry leader trying to make people's life easier in internet and serve the community. Now, Weibo has become a basic element in people's life. I can't imagine what my life would be without Weibo. Internet is growing very fast in China. I see the same dynamic of information as I saw in the States in the mid and late 90s, especially the fast growth in mobile internet. ICANN plays an important role in helping China internet evolution and helping us to build a healthier internet. We are very keen in working with ICANN and everybody to achieve this. And we're looking forward to working more closely with ICANN and everybody to serve the China internet users and feedback to the community. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Steven from Qihu 360. Thanks. Can give me this opportunity to speak on behalf of Qihu. So maybe Qihu 360 is a newcomer to ICANN community. So I want to give a very brief introduction to our company. So Qihu 360 is now the biggest internet and mobile internet security service provider in China. We built maybe the largest security system based on cloud computing technology to protect over 440 million PC internet users and over 200 million mobile internet users, which means we covers about 95% of Chinese internet users, and we occupy over 70% of the market share on mobile smartphone security software. And we also are the biggest internet the browser software provider in China. Our browser, which integrates our security features, now covers about 60% of the Chinese internet users. And we launched our search engine in last August, and now we are the number two search engine in China in terms of the search traffic. We believe that the innovation is a very one of the most important factors which drives the internet moving forward, and we can see some of the very important trends in the future internet. One is cloud computing. Also, we have built our system, built our services on top of the cloud computer infrastructure, and we think that there will be many of new services and applications which will depend or rely on the cloud computing infrastructure. Many users, individual users and business will put their, for example, the data, their business on the cloud. Another trend, very important trend, is mobile internet. There are so many applications, mobile applications, created in recent years, and it changed user in many different ways using the internet. And for not for both cloud computing and mobile internet, the security, I think, is still very basic needs for internet users. Maybe you know that the malware on smartphone is now becoming very, very grows very rapidly. So our company will focus on the three areas. And we think that I'm very pleased to see that ICANN, who is the most important managing role of the internet infrastructure, has become more and more open and innovative. And we see this new GTRD program, and we our company applied new GTRD strings. We applied for four strings, and we think this new GTRD program we will make more innovation become possible. For example, maybe in the near future, maybe every internet user they will have their own storage on the cloud, on some cloud service provider, and they would like to have their own name on the cloud. So this new GTRD program will make this become true, and I think this will help combined with the new GTRD program. The internet service provider can provide more innovative services combined with their business. So I think it's a very very good thing for us to participate and engage in this in ICANN community, and we hope to work closely with ICANN, and I wish this ICANN meeting successful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a couple of minutes left. Yeah, before I give the microphone to the audience, I just ask if the panelists have more comments.
Thank you very, very much. I just wanted to make a few comments on what I heard. First, Paul, I want to concur with you and to underline what you said as a guidance for us at ICANN, which is that ICANN, as part of its deep listening that it will do when it invests in its presence in Asia, must do that with full understanding of what's already in place, because quite a bit is already in place. We're not coming to change, we're coming to support, complement, and add. So I really second what you said, and you have my commitment that I can, as part of its listening, will make sure that we are doing whatever we're doing in full partnership with all of you as our partners, but also with an intent not to necessarily duplicate and replace, but quite the opposite, to complement and support and help each other grow. You have my commitment on that. To Jin, I just wanted to say something. You spoke about the diversity of the region. This is very important to appreciate, that we cannot from Singapore understand and support the whole region. The Singapore hub is a global hub, because on some days and some times of the day, our staff in Singapore will be supporting people in maybe in Cairo, because we're designing these hubs as being part of one global operation. However, in order to reach the people in this extremely diverse region, we will not be able to do it unless we build a lot of partnerships with local organizations. And this is something Dr. Kamel and Sally always talk about, that this is not about us hiring a lot of people and putting them everywhere. Again, in the spirit of complementarity, we may work with many of you already on the ground and complement each other and support each other. It's not about building more ICANN offices. It's actually more about supporting the needs of the region in the best way possible through partnerships. So that you have my commitment on that. Andy from Pandy, as I like to call him, spoke importantly about the respect for culture. And Andy knows that I grew up in a region of different cultures and different religions, and I have deep respect for your statement. And you can be assured that I will do my best, and the ICANN board supports me in that, to ensure that ICANN, in its understanding of the world, understands the local cultures and does not come to impose any culture, but rather to learn and embrace your culture and all other cultures. So you have my commitment to that. And of course, Chris, my partner at ICANN, but also Chris, as many of you know him, Chris Despain, is really a leader in our community. And he put a lot of focus on the Oceania region and its uniqueness as well. And I second him with that. And that's why I can point out Save in the audience here, our vice president in this region, who's from Fiji, from the islands, and lives in Brisbane, and is really someone who's helping us understand the region more closely and support it and support its unique requirements. So I welcome all of you to meet him and talk to him as he is leading our efforts in this region. And Andre, you spoke about IANA. I want to say something about your comments, which are right on, spot on, as we say in English. IANA is a very important and critical function, and we need to pay a lot of unique attention to its excellence. And I should tell you that we made huge investments in implementing at ICANN what we call business excellence standards. And the first area that has completed that program is IANA. And these are global standards that are well understood on business excellence. We will continue to invest in IANA and its business excellence and pay attention to it. And I welcome very much your comments, because you're right. If we don't, then we have a core function that is weak and not really scalable to serve the world. So you have my commitment on that. And Ji, you left me so impressed with Weibo. I'm almost ashamed that I don't have a Weibo account yet. So I will go get one as soon as I leave this podium. Weibo is an impressive platform. 500 million users. I know, he showed me. He just showed me. But I'm going to get mine too, because this is very impressive. But really, the spirit and the passion that you spoke about Weibo really left me quite impressed. Thank you. Yes, yes. So thank you. Thank you for that, and keep the good work. And Shi, I never met you before, but thank you for sharing what you did about Shihu 360. And I want to tell you that your comments about the impact of your work in security and the mobile area on hundreds of millions of people in China really makes me feel very responsible for our work. It really made me feel the weight of our responsibilities even more heavily. I want to close my comments by saying one thing I said on the podium earlier this morning, and I say it again. ICANN is a piece of a much richer puzzle than many of us sometimes focus on. We're just a piece of it. To my left here, Paul has an enormous role in the internet governance and the internet's success in Asia. They have a distinct but extremely complementary role to what we do, and we work closely with them. And in the audience here, I see Walder Roseman and I see Lynn from ISOC. They have their role in the region. They have a lot of history and work in this region that's extremely important. And of course, Jin, who invited me to the recent APTLD meeting, thank you for that gracious invitation. And I learned of the depth and richness of all the work you do in this region. So there are many partners. We are just one piece of the ecosystem. We will do our part, but we have to always remember we do it together, we do it in partnership, and that's how we succeed together. Thank you, Shadong.
Yeah, thank you, Fadi. Yeah, it's a very strong message. I think we have a couple of minutes left, so I want to give the microphone to the audience. If you have any comment or questions for the panelists, just raise your hand. The staff will give you a microphone to you. Ready, Pat?
Hello, my name is Hongbin Zhu. Allow me to speak on behalf of the new GTLD applicant community in China. We are very grateful to hear hear Mr. Fadi's address about the Asia Pacific strategy, and it is very exciting to me. My question is, could you elaborate more about what practical measures would you like to take for realize this vision? I mean, aside from moving your offices and systems to Asia, how ICANN will cooperate with local companies, governments, and civil societies to make a better engagement of them in the ICANN agenda? This agenda, I mean, promoting the new GTLD applications in these regions and broad the awareness of the trademark clearinghouse, and also encourage the IDN acceptance in the community and engage our community in other programs of ICANN, just like data escrow. This is what I'm concerning about. So how do you prospect the Beijing engagement offices will function to improve these issues? Thank you.
This is a very big question, but I want to first underline your first comment about excitement. We are excited as well. I'm glad you are, because this is a change of posture for ICANN in Asia. I will just give you a very brief answer, because your question is quite broad, and I will say the following. As I said before, the first thing we need to do is to develop a complete strategy bottom up, including all of our partners and all of the stakeholders in the region. That effort in places like Africa and Latin America took several months. And there is no rush in it, although I'm always moving fast, but there's no rush in it. It's important to do it well, and especially in Asia, where the region is so diverse. So that's the first thing we will do. And the foundation of that is listening, understanding the ground, the partnerships that can influence us, help us, and we will develop that strategy with you, not in a vacuum. I don't have any plan or strategy set. The only plan I have is to work with the local community to understand the needs and to develop the strategy. Now, from a practical standpoint, once that strategy is done, it will have very specific initiatives. Some of these may include outreach. Some of these may include engagement with industry, with SMEs. Some of these may include developmental activities. Some of these will include engagement with governments at a deeper level. So all of that will come out of that strategy. The one thing I'll tell you to close on this that I assure you will be part of this is an assurance that at the end of the day, when we're done, the participation of Asian constituencies into ICANN will be made easier and more effective, because we cannot continue to have our structures and the way Asia Pacific can participate in ICANN difficult. So I called it in another meeting on-ramps, like highway on-ramps. We want to put on-ramps across Asia Pacific for the Asian Pacific community to participate in making policy at ICANN, in influencing our engagement activities, in influencing our developmental activities. That's my hope. Again, much more detail to come, but thank you for your excitement. I share it with you.
Thank you, Fadi. So next comment? Yeah, Wendy Park.
Yeah, hi, YJ Park from AP Rallo, Vice Chair. And first of all, thank you for organizing very meaningful session, Xia Tong and I can all. But one of the things I would like to echo is the Paul's comment about the diversity in this region. So, for example, this the concept of the multi-stakeholder in this region is very different. Of course, the implementation of the multi-stakeholderism is very different as well. So I think more kind of the discussion in this region is going to be very critical. And so, as Paul mentioned, we are having very important meetings like Asia Pacific Regional IGF in Korea, where the near the airport. So it will be very convenient for many people to attend this meeting in September. And another meeting, which many of the people in this room do not really seem to aware, is the Cyberspace Conference, 6th October in Seoul again. Where we are going to also talk about this internet governance issues. And I was asked to promote this kind of event regarding the cyberspace conference by the Ministry of the Foreign Affairs. So one of the events I'm going to advertise here is the youth forum of cyberspace conference will be synchronized with the Asia Pacific Regional IGF meeting. So just the day before the regional IGF meeting in Seoul, the Songdo, we will have the youth forum of the cyberspace conference. So we are going to select kind of the 200 people whose ages is from 15 to 27 all around the world. And so the embassies in around the world, the Korean embassies, are going to advertise this event. And so we are asking the students and the youth to participate in the essay program, which is going to about the writing the essay on cybersecurity issues and the cyberspace issues and economic growth in the cyberspace, everything related to the cyberspace thing. So those essays will be collected, and so some of them will be selected for that the panel discussion. And if they are doing very well, those three delegations will be selected, and they will be asked to join the plenary session together with a very distinguished delegation from all over the world, like in October. So that's kind of the starting point, and not really this the cyberspace conference. And as Paul said, and also Andy said, we are having the Bali meeting in for the IGF, and also the IT planning potentiary meeting in Busan 2014. So there will be like a series of this internet governance debates here in Asia Pacific, which was not that much, the engaged topic with people from different stakeholders. So I think this is the first meeting where we start to talk about these different views, but hopefully we can have more people from the different countries and different kind of the stakeholder groups, so we can hopefully achieve some consensus from this community.
Thank you, Reggie. Ichimisa.
Thank you very much. I have two stupid questions, if I may. First, It says inter-regional collaboration. I was scratching my head. Does it mean the collaboration between Asia-Pacific and the other region? Or intra-regional, meaning the different subsections of the regions to collaborate together? With the exception of the member from the Russia, we don't see any other region. It's not a sort of a technical clarification that relates to the second question. How do we deal with this diversity in Asia-Pacific, Australia maybe? It's much broader than some other region. I think very earlier, I think my government submitted a comment to the ICANN formation process, I believe, or the geographic definition that should we divide Asia-Pacific into two? Because of the sheer number and diversity, or there are areas where we don't see many from west side of Asia or south side of Asia at this meeting, but in many other meetings. So do you have any wisdom how to deal with this diversity? I'm not saying that we should split into two, but APNIC or APTLD and others are all having similar problems. How do you really address this in the global context of ICANN? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Izumi-san. I failed to mention that I'm Asian too, because I forget sometimes that I was born in Asia and I grew up in Asia until I became an adult in Asia. I was just on the very, very, very other edge of Asia. In fact, the end of Asia, on one side at least. I was born and raised in Lebanon, and that is an Asian continent land. I'm certainly not going on my first trip to Asia to propose we divide Asia. So I think the debate is really for the community Asia-Pacific to discuss it. We have a region called Asia-Pacific right now, and I think its diversity is its richness. It's not a problem. Diversity is good. What we need to do is simply know it, understand it, appreciate it, and embrace it, and cover it, not ignore it and assume it's all the same. So you have my commitment that I will let the community lead in this area rather than us come with any presupposed understanding of that other than what's already understood. And Chris will help me here a little bit.
I just want to be really clear that if you thought that think I'm suggesting that you should split it up, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that I think when it comes to a strategy, there are specific areas that lend themselves to specific strategies, and I'm not suggesting that. I've been involved in this region for the last 12 years, and I embrace the diversity of the region. I think it's fantastic. All I'm saying is that purely from the setting of strategy for ICANN, which needs to be done along with the other ISTAR organizations to a great extent, we should look at breaking the region up from a strategic purpose and then mapping those individual sub-regional, if you want to call it that, strategies back up to an overarching strategy, which in turn maps up to ICANN's overarching strategy, something which Fadi talked about this morning in the opening session. We're about to embark on a 9-month exercise to create that 5-year strategy. Clearly, the subsets underneath that all map back up to that. So I don't think that I'm not suggesting that we should split it up. Just that we should be more efficient and effective in the way that we strategize for the region.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I think it's because of the time limit. I cannot give more comment from the audience. Because the time is a very limit. So as Fadi mentioned, ICANN is one to listening. Yeah, now you may find that the leader of ICANN Global Stakeholder Engagement, Sally Costelin and Tarek Kemal is here. So I want to give the last chance for them if they want to give us some word for the Global Stakeholder Engagement. Sally? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Really interesting panel discussion, and I think framed the challenge very well. We've had a lot of discussions, I have, Fadi has, Zhedong has, with many of you or represented on the panel and many of you here in the room. We have a lot of work ahead of us to get ourselves to the point where ICANN is truly engaged across this huge and diverse region, and that's not going to happen overnight. And as Fadi has said, it will happen in consultation with you to make sure that we complement what's already here. We are recruiting. That said, we are recruiting, which I've been looking after, and we will have some announcements on that fairly soon. And I'm very grateful to everybody that's participated in terms of advising and helping in that process so far. It's been remarkable. We obviously will have our new engagement office here, our centre in Beijing, thanks to Sien Nick. So I think I will certainly be here in the region a lot more. I'm very excited about the potential. I'm very slightly daunted by the task, but in a good way. And looking forward to working with all of you. And if any of you have any particular thoughts, observations, or ideas that you would like to share, please do come and find me, email me. I want to take in as much as I can at this stage, so that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Terry?
Thank you, Zhedong, and I'm also very pleased to participate in such a distinguished session, and it's very useful, and it really triggers a debate for having an Asia strategic strategy for ICANN's engagement and further engagement in the ISTARS. I want to reassure Chris that we are fully aware of the diversity of the region, and probably we will have to deal with it on a sub-regional level, and we seek here your input as such, how to tackle it on a sub-regional level. I want to reassure as well our dear friend Paul Wilson that we know that we are not starting from Greenfield. Asia Pacific is very rich. We already have APNIC with a long history, APTLD, as well as APRALO, and several other constituencies that are very strong there, and we build definitely on the partnership there. We are also aware that ISOC is also very active in India and in other parts in Asia, and we will make use of that we will build on that, as Fadi has mentioned, and comprehend the work that already exists. So we have our experiences from the Middle East and Africa and Latin America, but Asia Pacific is different, and we look forward to learn from you how really to develop this further and to build on the success that we had in other regions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tarek. And then thank you all before closing the conference. There is three sessions, I think. You hear more from the government and industry and the community. And there's a lot of important keyword today, that is stakeholders, engagement, diversity, and et cetera. I think how they will interface into the internet policy development and infrastructure development, new technology, and et cetera. I believe that the most important message in terms of the internet development in Asia Pacific region is how to face the challenge and bring the opportunities and collaboration. In the Asia Pacific region, we have a lot of opportunities, I think. And we have also a very diverse local national environment, totally different. There's no single solution. There are different kind of situations. So overall, one of the important takeaways from the discussion were that we should look ahead to ICANN's future initiative for the Asia Pacific region to see if we can bring more concrete actions and look from the concrete perspective to see if we have more concrete support, particularly for the developed world. Mm. Anyhow, I think it's everyone, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to thank you for your very, very enjoyable debate throughout this noon, and it's a long time. And we have a lot of discussion during the session. I would like to thank you all for your all contribution and all your debate. I hope we have addressed the objective we set up for this session even
I think time is very limited. We need further discussion in the future and round by round. So I'm sorry that it's a long time for you. So don't forget to bring your free sandwich. if you're leaving. And thank you all the bad panelists. Thank you, everyone.